Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. At this season of the year, we're celebrating the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ. We don't just do that at Easter. We do it every Sunday. In fact, every day we celebrate the Lord. There's no one else like Him. In fact, listen as Brother Lindell sings, "There He Stands."
Mary ran to His disciples. She was trying to explain how she thought she saw the gardener until He spoke her name. He said, "Go and tell the others," but they did not believe, for they saw Him when He died, crucified between two thieves. How could Mary make them see that what she said was true? How she longed for Him to come to them so they could see Him too. Then behind them was a stirring. John turned around to see. And at that moment, Christ appeared in all His majesty. And there He stands, there He stands, the King of glory, with His hands outstretched and arms held open wide. The sting of death, it could not stop Him, and the grave, it could not hold Him. Jesus died and rose again, and there He stands. I didn't see Him when He came out of that empty tomb, when He ascended to the right hand of God's throne. Oh, but I know that He'll return to take His children home, and He'll appear in all His glory, and it won't be very long till there He stands. There He stands, the King of glory, with His hands outstretched and arms held open wide. The sting of death, it could not stop Him, and the grave, it could not hold Him. Jesus died and rose again, and there He stands, there He stands. The sting of death, it could not stop Him, and the grave, it could not hold Him. Jesus died and rose again, and there
glad today that you know that you have a Redeemer, a Savior, one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. It's an exciting time of the year. Someone says, Pastor, do you not realize it's the week after Easter? Well, again, let me emphasize that to the Christian, Easter is all the time because He lives. We celebrate it every day, the fact that He lives. Listen to this song entitled, My Redeemer or Our Redeemer Lives.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin, I believe. Oh, I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in His name, I believe. Oh, I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives. I know He rescued my soul, His blood has covered my sin, I believe, oh I believe, I hope you can believe that this morning. Sing it out. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. Oh, I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer.
It is such a joy to the believer to know that our Redeemer lives. And we often think of the great sacrifice that our Savior paid for our salvation. As our Redeemer, He went to the cross, and because of what He did through His death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. Accepted, You were condemned. I'm alive and well, Your Spirit lives within me, because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor You in all I do. I honor You. I'm forgiven. Because You were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, Your Spirit lives.
is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
You are my King.
Our Bible text for today is 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. The title of the message is, We Do Not Well. 2 Kings 7, 8 and 9 says, And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And our emphasis, these men had stumbled on to a blessing from the Lord, a time of abundance, and they said, we do not well because we hold our peace. We need to tell the story. Does it seem a strange thing that here we are in the book of the Kings and we are reading about four lepers? You would think that in a book with this title we would just be reading about the rich and the famous, the powerful and the invincible, kings and potentates. Instead, we're reading about people in distress. Four lepers who are hungry and, in fact, starving. Think about how small your Bible would become if you removed all the stories of the defeated and downtrodden. How many of the Psalms would be removed? How much of the Gospels? Maybe today you're listening and, for some reason or another, you're defeated and downtrodden. Did you know the Bible is a great book for you? It's a book about hope. If everything in the Bible about human frailty and failure, about grief and sorrow were removed, how much would be left? You know, if you start in the book of Genesis, you don't go far until the first couple loses their home and both of their sons. Of course, Adam and Eve expelled from the garden, and then they lost one son in death, and the other son lost him because of what he had done, the murder of his brother. And then you read of Joseph, and all of the afflictions that came his way through no fault of his own, and thus it continues throughout the Bible. And this story today is such a story of people who were going through a hard time. And on a human level, they had no hope. The Bible says there were four leprous men, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3. And back in Bible time, leprosy was a terrible thing. You were separated from your family, isolated. It was a bad time generally, but especially a, bad time for these four men. Let's set it in a context. It is a very bad time nationally for the nation. Jehoram is king of Israel, and the Bible says in 2 Kings 3:1 that he was the son of Ahab. He began to reign in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. It's interesting that he was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. If you know the story, it's a sad story. 2 Chronicles 21:4, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with a sword, and divers also the princes of Israel. The nation was having a hard time. In fact, if you read in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6 down through verse 18, you'll find that Elisha did not think very much of Jehoram. Jehoshaphat had said in verse 11, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord?" And, of course, there was a prophet of the Lord. His name was Elijah. And yet, as you read the story, he did not think much of this wicked king. Now, lest you get the wrong idea, when I preach these negatives and these sad things, the Bible is not entirely negative. For example, as you go through 2 Kings, this book that we're in, there's some wonderful stories of deliverance, the sustenance of the wife of one of the prophets through the oil that kept pouring there in chapter 4. You remember the lady, she struck oil in her living room, as it were. And then the resurrection and resuscitation of the Shunammite's son. You may remember that story a while back. We did a sermon on the sneeze that caused the shout, the dead boy that began to sneeze. And there's the story of death in the pot and the healing thereof over in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38 through 41. When Elisha came to Gilgal and there was a dearth in the land, the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his servants, "Set on the great pot and seethe the pottage for the sons of the prophets." They went out to gather herbs, and verse 39, found a wild vine, and took the wild gourds and shred them into the pot of pottage, but they knew them not. They didn't know what it was. The Bible says they poured out for the men to eat. It came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot," and they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot, and he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat," and there was no harm in the pot. And it's a wonderful story of where there was death in the pot, there was healing thereof. And so again and again we find wonderful stories of encouragement. In chapter 5 we find the story of Naaman the leper. A wonderful story. These are wonderful stories to read. Chapter 6, we read about how the miracle of the floating axe head where the iron did swim. And just so many others that are in this book that you would find blessing. But at this particular time that we're preaching about today, a really bad famine had come. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24, it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. So they're out of food. They don't have any food. They're surrounded by an enemy. The Bible says in verse 26, it was such a great famine that literally, if you read it, people were eating a donkey's head and it sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now, donkey meat's not a delicacy. I've never seen it anywhere at any restaurant I've ever eaten. I've never seen it on a menu, and especially I wouldn't think the head. And yet people were starving. Jehoram had pronounced a death sentence on Elisha. If you go and read the story, and he said, "God do so to me, and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." That's in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 31. And so it was just a wicked, wicked time. But in this context of famine in the land, that's when our story takes place. The prophet had said in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. In other words, the prophet said, tomorrow at this time the famine will have ended, and there will be plenty to eat. Now, this is the context. These four lepers went out to the enemy camp. They were thinking they might feed us. They have food. They might toss us some food. If they kill us, we die. We're going to die anyway of famine. And so 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, as we have been relating, there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Now, they were there to beg, but nobody had anything to give them. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They were used to foraging the garbage, but the problem was there just wasn't any garbage. And there wasn't any handouts, and no one was tossing them any food because no one had any food to toss. Just a little congregation of dying lepers, miserable, dying souls. And yet their despair led to dare. They said in verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Is not this an amazing thing? Now, the prophet had said, tomorrow at this time there will be plenty to eat. But nobody believed the word of the Lord, and nobody went out to see if there really was suddenly an abundance, as the man of God had said. They sat in prison, already defeated, as it were, in fear, afraid to venture out. But God had to use four lepers, four desperate men, who dared to venture forth. And the Bible says in verse 5, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. They didn't find anyone there. The Bible says they rose up to go. For the Lord, in verse 6, had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host, and they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses. Everything in the camp was as it was, the Bible says, and they fled for their life. You see, God didn't need anybody's help to defeat the Syrians that day and to supply the needs of Israel. God doesn't have to have the help of the Hittites. And so the Bible says in verse 8, and when these lepers were come to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment. Everything was left, and went and hid it and came again, entered into another tent, carried thence also and went and hid it. Now this is our text. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We've got the good news of abundance, but we're not telling anyone. We need to go tell this message. They said, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Verse 10 says, so they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied. It says the tents were as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And then reading down a little later in verse 16, so the people went out. And by the way, they found plenty. It was there in abundance. And the Bible says, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And so we see here, number one, an invitation to sinners. They said, why sit we here until we die? Verse 5 says, they rose up to go. And verse 5 also tells us that when they were come, they found abundance. Jesus said in John 10, chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why sit you until you die? Rise up, go. Go to the Lord. Believe the Lord. Trust the Lord. So there's an invitation to sinners. Number two, there's a motivation to witness. Once they had come, then they had to go and tell others. And they said, we do not well if we don't share this good news. I will tell you, the message was not initially greeted with great enthusiasm, and so here's how it works. First you come, and once you have received, then you go and tell. But don't be surprised if it's not greeted with great enthusiasm. That brings me to the third point. There's a sad rejection here. Some will never partake. This poor fellow of whom the prophet said that he would see it, but not partake of it. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, the Bible, remember, said, spoke of this man who had rejected and sort of mocked the prophet. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 7:17, and the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God, and said, and there's mockery in it, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, the prophet said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. He died in unbelief, he died in rejection, and he died in refusal. The prophet had told him there would be plenty, there would be abundance, and he could have joined in it if he had only had faith. And so to summarize our sermon today, it's about 4 desperate men. Men who were in fact dying, and yet there was abundance out there if they just would come. The prophet had given a message and said there's plenty for those who will receive it tomorrow. And so the next day came, and they went out, and they in fact did receive. And then they said, we do not well unless we share this. Now, when you come to Christ and you receive him as your personal Savior and as your personal Lord, and you have found the abundance that is in Christ, then according to the Bible, you do not well if you don't go and share that good news with others, so that they too might come to Christ. Now, this is an Old Testament story, but it's a story that we've used to illustrate the gospel. The good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that through his death, by receiving him, by coming to him, we have abundance, the abundant life that is in Christ. And then it becomes our job to tell others the good news. And if we don't do that, we do not well. You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.